Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. The last 5 months, we have been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We find that in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the teaching of Jesus. And today, we have come to the final two verses of chapter 7 and to the end of our time in the Sermon on the Mount. Before beginning next Sunday, we move into our sermon schedule, and you can see some of what we'll be doing according to the Bible reading plan that I mentioned earlier that you have in your bulletins today. And as we have been moving through the Sermon on the Mount, we have been looking in particular at Jesus' teaching. But today in these last two verses of Matthew chapter 7, we're not going to look so much at Jesus' teaching as we're going to look at Jesus himself. And so I invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 7. And the verses, as always, are up here. Or if you'd like to follow with me in your pew Bible, it's on page 805, reading verses 28 and 29. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. He taught with real authority. Now, when I think of authority, I think of someone like a law enforcement officer. A police officer exercises authority in three basic ways. The first aspect of his or her authority is that they know the law. They know the law. Secondly, as they exercise their authority, they interpret the law in particular situations. They apply the law. They know the law, they apply the law, and thirdly, if it is needed, they have the authority to enforce the law. They know the law, they apply the law, they enforce the law. That is their authority. If a police officer pulls you over and gives you a ticket, they're exercising their full authority. There's a law, there's an interpretation, there's an enforcement. That is their authority, and they exercise it appropriately in that kind of a situation. Now, as pastor of the congregation, I was thinking about this week. I was going, well, what kind of authority do I have as your pastor? Well, I do have the authority, indeed, correctly so. I am expected to know the law in this case, of course, because of our particular situation as a church. You expect me as your pastor to know the law of God, to know Scripture, and not perfectly, but to know quite a bit, to have a good handle on the law of God, because the law of God, we understand, helps us to understand who God is. The will of God is revealed to us in His law. So if as part of my responsibility, if you will, part of my authority as pastor is to share with you who is God, how do we understand God? We do so in a large way through looking at and understanding the law as He's revealed it to us primarily in His Word. So part of my authority is to know the law and to share that knowledge with you. Secondly, it is also appropriate to expect my authority to be in the area of applying the law, to helping all of us together, not just to know what the law is, but to see how do we put that law to practical use in our life. How do we apply it? How does it work in this situation, in that situation, or in that situation? The Bible, having been written 2,000 and more years ago, the world is different, our culture is different, our social setting is different, and yet we talk about how to take these things written long ago and apply them in our current situation. So know the law and interpret the law is appropriate to my authority, and I would say most people in the congregation, hopefully all, at least acknowledge that as being part of my authority as pastor. But then we get to the third part, the enforcement. And it quickly becomes clear that my authority is limited because I have no authority to enforce any application that we talk about together on you. I neither can do it, I have not been asked to do it, and I would venture to say if I tried to do it, there would be a fair amount of pushback. Maybe, Steve, you should have retired a long time ago if I ever tried anything like that. I do not have the authority, if you will, to pull you over in your Christian life and write you a ticket. And appropriately so. If I did have that authority, it would probably get pretty dangerous pretty quick. There's a good reason why pastor does not have that authority. So mine is a limited authority. Not necessarily in a bad way, hopefully in a positive way, but part of my authority then, what I seek to do in your life and certainly in my own life, is to encourage a self-sense that I need to do what I'm being asked to do by God, not by the pastor who can't enforce it anyway, but what am I going to do with what he has shared with me about the law of God and about its application. My authority is limited. And so when we look at Jesus as a teacher, as we have seen him in the Sermon on the Mount, he has been teaching many different things about many different areas of life as we've looked at it these last 5 months. We can apply the same kind of situation and ask about Jesus' authority. Again, we are told by Matthew that he taught as someone with real authority, that the people were impressed by him. Certainly Jesus had the authority to be able to share the will of God. He knew the law of God. He was able to share what the will of God is, for he is, of course, himself the Son of God. And he is also very much, by his authority, able to help people to see how that applies in different situations, to interpret the law of God. And we saw that, for example, in chapter 6, he interpreted in terms of keeping oaths, he interpreted in terms of taking a life, he interpreted in terms of divorce and adultery and other different areas of life. So Jesus knew the law in his teaching. He applied the law in his teaching. But here we come to the third part. Did Jesus, in his teaching, in what we read in these three chapters, enforce the law? And I would suggest to you that he did not enforce the law any more than I enforce the law as a pastor. Jesus, as far as I know, was not writing spiritual tickets, so to speak, as a part of his Sermon on the Mount work. So in a very similar way to what I do, Jesus did, but it is now up to people to decide what to do with what Jesus has done. Is the authority of Jesus in my life not applied to me and not just to those people who were there on that day 2,000 years ago? Is the authority of Jesus in my life a complete authority? Is it a real authority? In other words, when Jesus says to me through the Word, through a text like the Sermon on the Mount, this is what God desires of you, Steve. This is how you can apply it in your life, in your particular situation. Will I then do it? The correct word would then no longer be enforcement, as I was applying it to a police officer or even theoretically to a pastor. But the issue is now whether the authority is one that I agree with, that I make a part of my life, that I say Jesus has authority in my life in a complete and full way. Not just, oh, I'll listen to him teach. Not just, oh, I'll pay attention to when he says this is how you apply it, but I will actually do it. And see, the danger is, and it was clearly a danger that we see in the Gospels, as people respond to Jesus in a wide variety of ways, many people were amazed at his teaching. But they did not do what he taught. Indeed, we read, for example, in the Gospel of John, how Jesus taught some other things that were kind of much harder, or they were much more challenging. They were even somewhat threatening to some people, and they wandered away from him. They say, I don't want to listen to him anymore, and I'm certainly not going to even think about applying what he just taught. He had even got so bad at one point, he turned to his disciples and said, will you leave me also? So the question for you and me becomes, what are we going to do with what Jesus taught? Do we give him full authority in our life to apply and to do what he has taught us? Apply meaning taking what he has taught us and to put it to work in our own lives. With his help and through, as Scripture teaches clearly, through the work and the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, if by faith we trust in him. Will we do what he's asked us to do in his teaching? See, the reality is a lot of people know something about Jesus' teaching. They may even have read a little about it. They may even come to church and hear about it. And they might say, you know, I like some of that teaching of Jesus. I like some of those things he says. That's good stuff. But when it comes to the final aspect of authority, when it comes to who decides what I'm going to do about the teaching of Jesus, the final authority is me. I decide. Akin to someone driving down the road and seeing the 35-mile-an-hour sign and saying, there's the law. The interpretation is fairly straightforward. I'm supposed to go no more than 35. Will I do it? There's no one around to enforce it. I'm my own authority. And many people look that way at Jesus. Jesus says, here's the will of God, and here's how you're to apply it in your life. And you might even say today, like you may say listening to the pastor, okay, I'm on board. Sounds right. Sounds good. I think what you're telling me about Jesus and about God and the will of God and all of that, I'm pretty much on board. I'm with you. We probably read the Bible in the same way. We probably see things the same way. But who's the authority in your life in terms of actually putting it into practice? See, Jesus has something very specific to say about people who listens to his teachings, who listens to the application of his teachings, but then do not put them into practice. He has talked about this earlier in this chapter 7. He actually gives a series of four warnings. And he says essentially that those who want to be their own authority, those who reject my authority to do what I ask them to do and what my Heavenly Father has spoken through me, they are like people on a broad way leading to hell. They are people whose lives bear bad fruit. These are people who one day will hear me say to them, I never knew you. These are people who think that their faith is strong, but it is actually going to collapse with a mighty crash. No, Jesus does not enforce it. in the sense of a police officer enforcing a speed limit with a ticket. But he does tell us what the consequences are for making ourselves the authority in our life when it comes to what we do with what Jesus teaches about the will of God and its application in our lives. Therefore, the question of Jesus' authority in your life and my life is of ultimate, everlasting meaning. If you or I call ourselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, the one who we believe is the Son of God as He says He is, then we must give Him full authority of our lives. We must not wait looking around to see if someone is there to give us a ticket and then just go and do whatever we feel like. We must recognize that in our life, if Jesus has said, you need to do this, then we purpose to do this because His authority is complete. Jesus says at the end of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the very last verses of the whole gospel, Jesus says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. That means you and I do not have our own independent authority that we can exercise. Oh, we're allowed to do it for a little time, but there will come a time. There will come a time where our authority of our own life will be completely meaningless. For all authority is given to Him in heaven and on earth, which simply means everywhere. Just think the whole universe, all of creation, He has all authority. There is no part of the created universe that He does not have authority over. And it's interesting, when He lived here on earth, He actually revealed in His life, in His actions, some of that amazing authority. Authority that no one else has. And if we really pay attention, it should really make us stop and wonder and ask ourselves the question, why would I ever think that I have more authority over my life than God has through His Son, Jesus Christ? For example, Jesus had authority, as He does now, as He's always had, over nature. The natural world does not have authority to do whatever it feels like. It follows certain laws and certain patterns. It does things in certain ways, but when Jesus comes along and says, I'd like this done differently, guess what? Nature, to personify it, obeys because nature is under His authority. So when nature is throwing a fuss on the Sea of Galilee and stirring up waves and winds and storm and beating about the boat the disciples are in with Jesus, what does Jesus do? He stands up because He has authority over nature and says, peace. Be still. And guess what? The waves obey Him, for He has authority. He's at a wedding. They've run out of wine. This should encourage some of you. And all we have left is water. He has authority to turn water into wine. And He does so for seemingly no other reason than just so that people can have an enjoyable time and so that the wedding family will not be embarrassed by running out of wine before the party is over. Other instances of His authority over nature. How about the authority over illness and even death? I mean, death seems like it has a final authority, right? Who here think they can escape the authority of death in their life? You may say, I have authority over a lot of things, but certainly you'd be a little bit silly if you tried to claim authority over your own death. But guess who has authority over your death and my death? Jesus. And that's not just idle words that I speak. Jesus demonstrated it. He raised people from the dead as he himself was raised from the dead. Death has no power. Illness has no power. He healed people by the thousands. Sometimes you get like long stories about one particular healing. You know, a lame man was healed, or a woman who'd had a flow of blood for 10 years was healed. And, you know, individual people and their wonderful stories. But then you get a little verse that says, and Jesus traveled to, you know, city X, and everyone there was healed. And then it moves on like, you almost miss it if you just kind of blip over it because it's not as exciting to read as a story about, you know, the guy who was lowered down through the roof and everything that happened. Wait a minute, everyone in the village? Yes, everyone. That's just what it says. Because he has authority. What about authority over evil? Isn't this world kind of split between the forces of good and the forces of evil? Isn't that reality? And one day we'll find out who's going to win? No. There is evil in the world, but it has no authority. Like nature, like illness, like death, evil is allowed to do its thing, if you will, for a while, but it has no authority, for Jesus showed his authority over evil by rebuking and casting out demons. There's nothing more evil or nothing more powerful in its evil than a demon, an angelic servant of Satan. And Jesus has authority over those demons and indeed over Satan himself. It's not a question of who's going to win. It's just a question of when Jesus will establish his final authority. Two more things, and probably the most important of all. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, your sin and my sin. Who else has that authority? Who else can forgive your sin, which is what stands between you and God? You can't do it. I can't do it. The church can't do it. No one else has the authority to forgive sins except Jesus. That's it. Secondly, he has the authority on judgment day to determine the eternal destiny of your soul. And it's one of two places, heaven or hell. He has that authority. No one else has that authority. No one else can make that decision in your life. So given that Jesus, as the Son of God, has all of those areas of authority, both in terms of what goes on in the universe now, as well as what goes on in terms of the reality of your life and my life, the question comes back. Whose authority will determine how I live my life? His or mine? No, he's not going to come today and enforce his authority in an overpowering, you have no choice. You do have a free will on this particular question for now. But if you claim my authority for my life to do how I want and to determine how I want to deal with what Jesus asked me to do, and I decide whether I'm going to do it or not, that is an authority that one day you will lose, although you may have it today. Instead, Jesus says, give me your authority today. Allow me to be the authority of your life. As Christians, we often have a little phrase that we say about Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord. We also often say, and Savior, but I'm focusing on the Lord part here. What does it mean that he's my Lord? Do we really mean that when we say it? If Jesus is your Lord, what you're saying is, I give him authority over my life. Jesus says you need to lay down your life. What he means by that is you need to lay down your authority. Not necessarily that you need to die, although certainly many have died for the sake of Jesus Christ, but to lay down your life, he's talking about the willfulness. Who has authority today in your life and my life? Is it Jesus? Full authority? Not just I go to church, I read the Bible, I hear all this stuff, and then I go decide what I want to do about it. Some things I'm okay with, other things I'd rather not, and so I don't. And that's just how I see my life. That's what it means to me to be a Christian. I'm sorry, according to Scripture, you're not a Christian. You can only be a Christian if He's the Son of God in your life, and He can only be the Son of God in your life if you give Him your authority. Those are not just the words of the preacher. I have now told you what is here as I understand it, as I read it. I've interpreted it according to my understanding and the understanding of many others. Now the question is, what are you going to do it about it? Excuse me. I can't enforce it. God is not going to enforce it at this moment unless Jesus is about ready to come back. But when He comes back, His authority will be enforced. And those who have rejected His authority, those who have said, no, I want to live my life my way, they will hear those terrible words as we talked about a few weeks ago, I never knew you. Jesus was gathered in a room, it's called the upper room in Scripture, just describing, it was like on the second floor, I guess. But he was in an upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. He was with his disciples. And he sat them down, and they were having dinner, and he used the bread and the cup from the meal to teach them. He taught them what the law said and his interpretation of the law about his own death and its meaning. He taught them. And then he said something. He said, do this in remembrance of me. A command. And within a couple of months, he descended into heaven. Guess what? The disciples did this. And the early church did this. And 2,000 years later, you and I are about to do this because at least here, we as a church have given him our full authority. He's taught us about what we call the Lord's Supper. He has explained its application in his own life and by extension to our life. And we do it. We give him authority by doing what he's asked. Now, this isn't terribly hard to do. It's not very onerous. There are many things that Jesus asks us to do that are a lot harder than this, but we do. An example of giving Jesus full authority. But of course, he requires full authority of all areas of our life, not just a particular practice in a church service once a month. But nevertheless, this is a good example of what we're talking about. If Jesus has taught us about it, if Jesus has helped us understand how it applies in our lives, then let's do it. And we will. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the way in which Matthew ends this Sermon on the Mount with just two of these very small verses that are easy just to kind of blip over. They were amazed at his teaching and probably all kind of reasons, but the real issue was because he spoke with real authority. And the question is whether he has real authority or, as we've talked about, complete authority in our lives. Not just we marvel at what he said or we really like the way he said it, but are we actually going to put it into action? Are we going to say, Jesus, you're in charge of my life, and if this is what you're teaching me and this is what you're showing me in terms of applying it in my situation, then I'm going to do it. And when I fail to do it, I will confess it. And you will forgive me, and we will continue. You've given us your Holy Spirit to help us with this. There is something within us that naturally resists giving you authority. There's something within us, kind of our human sinful nature, as the Bible talks about it, that wants us to be in authority of our own lives. We don't want anybody else to have control. And so it's hard to do this with you, Lord. But if we recognize what you're teaching us in the sermon, especially towards the end. Father, one day we will have no choice. No one can stand up on that final day and say, I'm in charge of my own life, for you are God. The question is, what are we going to say today? And what we say today and in the days to come, any time during our life, but as long as we do it before we die, but what better day than today if we've not already done it? Why not say, Lord, you have authority in my life. Whether or not I give it to you, you have authority. But I want to give it to you. I want to live your way. Because I want to hear you say on that day, when all of us stand before you as the judge, the one with authority, and no one else has that authority, I want you to hear you say to me, welcome home, good and faithful servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.